Welcome to Forward Rowan, Prosperity Through Progress, the podcast exploring the strategies, stories, and successes driving economic growth in Rowan County, North Carolina. On this Growth Frontier episode, join us as we dive into the latest development projects and the companies that chose Rowan as their home. Discover why Rowan is on the map for business growth and opportunity.
Welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining us today at the Rowan EDC. We're really happy to have you. You have over 30 years experience in industrial commercial real estate across a lot of sectors, including all types of transactions. And as managing director of Avis & Young Charlotte office, you have a deep insight and perspective into the region. And just we're curious to know what you think makes Charlotte competitive. Charlotte has been on a real high growth pattern here for several years. What do you think is contributing to that?
Well, thanks for having me here. I've always been an advocate for Rowan County and done a lot of business here over 30 years. And I would say that, you know, North Carolina as a whole, and I'll bring it down into Charlotte and then Rowan County, but North Carolina as a whole has a legacy of industrial, you know, manufacturing going back, you know, to the, you know, late 1800s. And so The industrial policy, I would say, in North Carolina has always been present. Like, it was a very pro-business state. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, Charlotte's sort of background is as a trade route, right? So It was a distribution corridor. And compared to other parts of the country, our utility rates are very competitive, our tax rates are competitive. It's a you know, generally a non-union type of state, mm-hmm. and therefore a city as well in a region. And then you throw in a major airport hub, that's mm-hmm. probably one of our biggest economic drivers. And I think if you put all that into like a stew, it creates a very, I think, it creates a lot of opportunities for manufacturers and distributors just because of, you know, all those sort of, I'd call it structural components that help companies be successful.
Good. Yeah, we're certainly happy with what we're seeing from a state perspective and all that they're doing to make it a competitive location for new business and for residents too. In fact, I just saw this morning that we're predicted to be the seventh largest state by 2030. So we're definitely on a growth trend. Let's talk a little bit about the Charlotte region. You know, we're a little bit, you mentioned some of the assets that we have, but we also cover two states, which can be both an advantage and sometimes making things a little more complex. But what do you see about the Charlotte region that makes us competitive with other markets like a Nashville or a Austin or a Orlando?
Yeah, I would agree that those are sort of the competitive set. I'd probably throw Indianapolis in there, and Denver is sort of like our, you know, similarly sized sort of TV markets, let's just call it. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this often. I mean, I think one element that I think really stands out is it's very organically grown. Like, there's not, this is a positive and a negative, we're not a big tourism area, mm-hmm. so you don't have like a, what I'd call an artificial economy around just tourism. I'm sure in Nashville wouldn't say it's an artificial economy, but mm-hmm. I would say that that has a lot more volatility to it. Like, you know, during COVID, I would imagine a number of the tourist-heavy economies really suffered, whereas Charlotte obviously, you know, had its issues. But it's more organically grown and, you know, sort of like the quality of life. I think what the people, mm-hmm. I think if you look at some of the transitory patterns of people moving from around the country, a lot of folks come from upstate New York, you know, the Connecticut area, places in the Northeast. And again, those cost factors are at play. It's not as cheap mm-hmm. as people think, but it's definitely less tax. It has lower taxes than some of the other areas. But I think that they get a comparable quality of life. They have nice housing, mm-hmm. Schools are good. You know, that's sort of like, again, like I talked about those structural foundational levels that really attract people to the area. And then I think just from a business standpoint, I think generally speaking, the labor rates and labor availability and the labor quality are mm-hmm. really high. And that's a big component of what brings you know, company or makes, you know, I think for Macy's, that was one of their biggest attractors to China Grove and Rhode Island County was the availability of affordable and trainable labor. So I just think, you know, Austin's you know, has its own high tech sort of focus in Texas, and it's a state capital. You know, Nashville has got the music scene and the tourism. So those are really different kind of, you know, they have different attributes than what we have. And in some ways, I always tell people, you know, I moved to Charlotte in 1993 from Atlanta, and I always said Charlotte's kind of boring, but you know, sometimes boring is good. You know, boring is sometimes a good place to raise a family, right? So you've got, you know, you're really close to the coast. You know, 3 hours from Charleston or the beaches of North Carolina, you can get to the mountains in about 2 hours. So you really are a good. I always say it's a good launching pad to go to other places. And I'm not saying that Charlotte's not a great place to live, because I've lived there for 30 plus years and I've really enjoyed it. It's just that it may not have like the sizzle of a Nashville or an Austin, but it's certainly a very steady growing kind of community.
Yeah. Yeah, we like that too. You mentioned Rhode Island County and you mentioned Macy's. Mm. You know, over the past several years, we like to characterize our growth in the region as coming from one of the laggards in the region to now one of the leaders in growth. What do you think has differentiated Rhode Island County over the past few years that has contributed to our growth?
Well, I think it's just timing. I think ultimately markets identify, where there's opportunity. And I think what was untapped here that other counties will continue to struggle with a little bit is the availability of land. Mm-hmm. You know, when 45 got completed, surprisingly, it was only completed back in, I think, 2015 or 16, that really opened up Cabarrus County. And so you saw an initial industrial development wave happen in southern Cabarrus County. Well, now with their sewer issues, so they have a lack of sewer capacity. So folks that want to be on that northeast side of Charlotte and on 85, that their next logical place to come to was Rhode Island County. And the 85 corridor is widely recognized in the industry and really throughout the country as being just a major commercial artery, you know, going from Montgomery, Alabama, all the way up to Richmond, Virginia. Sure. And along that, you know, you've got Atlanta, then you've got Greenville, Spartanburg with BMW, Charlotte, the Triad, and then Raleigh-Durham. And so from an industrial development perspective, we just sort of say, that's the place you want to be, you know, just because it just makes so much sense from a logistics standpoint. And I think that Roanne, other than, like, if you were to compare it to Gaston, so Gaston and Roanne, fairly similar, or maybe I'd say it's more like Cleveland County, because Gaston would be like Cabarrus, because it really touches the 45 Beltway. Mm-hmm. I think you have more advantages than maybe Cleveland County, just because even though you're not on the Atlanta side of Charlotte, you are, if you look at where population growth is, I think there's more population density from here probably to Raleigh than you would from maybe Gastonia to, you know, the northern parts of Spartanburg, just because it's just, you know, Davidson's a little rural north of you, but it's not, you're not that far from a lot of population just north of you. So I think it's a combination of 85 corridor, land availability, you're wedged between a couple of pretty good sized economies, and you kind of fit right in between nicely.
Good. So we have land, labor, and logistics going for us here in Rhode Island County. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's certainly benefited us. We've taken advantage of that. Let's talk about the role of organizations like the Rhode Island EDC a little bit. How do they contribute to the growth and helping you do your job?
I would expand that to county commissioners and also city council members. We have a lot of visibility over a long period of time of working with different communities. And, you know, we're politically agnostic. Like, I mean, in terms of, we just want to do business. And I think it's about job growth and capital investment growth. So when you take the politics out of it, which is, I know, hard to do, what you want to think about is, like, what is the vision for the community? Like, what do you want to be? And then does that align with what your attributes are. A lot of times we see a misalignment where a community might say, well, we want an insert, you know, the next hot thing. Like, you know, a few years ago it was, hey, we want biotech, right?
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, well, do you have, you know, do you have the trainable workers? Do you right. have the infrastructure? Do you have the things that you need? And you know, you go down the list and some of the communities really didn't. But if you had a city council member that read about something and next thing you know, that's their hot button. And now the community is going in a path that maybe they don't have the resources to really to do that. And I think where we see the most success are when the city council, the county commissioners, and then by design, then the EDCs are all in alignment, right? So when there's an alignment, you see, I think, greater outcomes. And Savannah, from what I, you know, from outside looking in, like Savannah, not in our area, but Savannah has like a, some people wonder, like, why does Savannah have an advantage, or why have they had more success than like Charleston as a port? Mm-hmm. And I think some of it has to do with strategic design, where I think Savannah was very early in attracting some of the steamships that serve retailers like Target and Walmart, Home Depot, think groups like that. And so that sort of fed on itself, whereas Charleston was like, hey, look, you know what? We maybe don't want these large retailers. We want manufacturing. So they got Daimler Chrysler or the Daimler van plant. Then they got Boeing and now Volvo. So they've gone sort of in a different direction. So if you look at it from a TEU perspective, like the TEU race, if you, you know, the TEU race is being won by Savannah. Well, that's because they kind of invested in a different area, but the Georgia Port Authority, the Georgia Department of Trade and Tourism, they all had a very unified sort of strategy. And I think for a while, Charleston wasn't sure, okay, do we want to compete in that realm or do we want to compete in manufacturing? And that's just an example of what I see really, really around the region. Still, I think there's some communities that maybe don't have a unified strategy and they end up kind of going in odd directions. And I think the way that the, I think your question is about how do the economic development corporations and groups work with industry is that they have sites that they've developed. They've got industrial parks. They have good relationships with their community colleges and their technical schools to help the trainable labor to get the labor availability. And then there are also good brokers of the private sector, either manufacturing and developers and folks like myself and other consultants and their constituents. So it's really the real key linchpin between the public sector, the governing bodies that you have to deal with, and then also, you know, folks like myself that are, you know, trying to bring in, you know, investment to the area.
We like to think that we're really aligned in Rowan County. We view ourselves as the EDC as kind of the gel that holds those three groups together, working with our government leaders, working with consultants and brokers like you, and then with the companies who are either already here or are interested in locating here. And it can sometimes be a delicate sort of dance between the three, but
absolutely,
it's something that we work on all the time, and we think that's been an advantage for us. You mentioned the availability of buildings. Over the past 4 or 5 years, we've had about 20 million square feet of speculative space announced in Rowan County. How big a factor is that to bringing companies to our community?
It's a huge factor. I think a lot of companies, you would think that they plan out, you know, some the best companies have long-range capital plans. Some of them, though, they don't have that same planning capability, or they need to respond to market changes. As you know, now you know there's all this chaos and uncertainty around tariffs and what the impacts are, and you could see companies getting whipsawed about making decisions, and maybe somebody's got to make a decision, and they can't wait, and they can't wait a year or 14 months or whatever it might be to have a building built, and you know. Very often we see, you know, for the most part, especially logistics firms, a lot of the buildings that are being built, they're built in a way that allows flexibility. So a number of different uses can go into those buildings and they would work for a myriad of different types of businesses. So you know, the development community is very smart about designing, you know, facilities that help with that. Mm-hmm. And I also think that as a community, if you have a spec building that maybe doesn't work for a manufacturer because it doesn't lay out right, well, now you're still getting mm-hmm. exposure for your community. And next thing you know, right. they want to do a build-to-suit in one of your parks because mm-hmm. maybe the building isn't quite right of what they're looking for. So I think it's a win-win, and it gets some early investment into the community. And, you know, I think one of the, I think the other thing that I think a community can do is, you know, these are the private developers or even, you know, public developers for that matter, you know, they're taking a risk, right? Mm-hmm. So they're coming sure. in and they're spending, you know, millions of dollars to build these buildings. Well, obviously they have a financial incentive to do that, but they are taking a risk. So I think when, mm-hmm. when community, I think what y'all have done to help facilitate that where you can is super helpful. I don't know if lately, I know it kind of ebbs and flows sometimes about the development grants and right. tax grants that could be available, but that's a huge benefit to helping bringing those guys in because it can help spur, you know, like DHL, you know, landing mm-hmm. down in the Crow project.
Sure.
Would that have come, you know, that probably would have gone to the Trammell Crow building in Cabarrus County, but, you know, Crow comes in, they build it, and they land that deal right away. So yeah. That's a win.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we feel like the incentives are an important part of our ability to attract companies mm-hmm. here and to say that we appreciate you. And we did go through a revision of those in the past year, but we still think they're really competitive for the marketplace. And we went to a point system where, depending on the nature of the project and what all is involved, you can get additional, you can gain points that mm-hmm. get you more of an incentive. So we think that's a really fair way to do it. We've only been doing it for about a year now. So mm-hmm. we're watching to see how that works out and if we need to make any changes to that. You've represented some of those buildings mm-hmm. that we talked about. Can you give us any insights on kind of what you see? I know you can't name company names, but what kind of activity are you seeing from in terms of interest in Rowan County? Can you name industries or any trends or insights that you're seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're almost through the first quarter of 2025. This is, you know, March mm-hmm. of 25. So generally speaking, it's not the greatest time to look at that lens mm-hmm. because the beginning of the year tends to be a little bit slower just because okay. companies have set up their capital plans at the end of the previous year. They're now implementing those plans and mm-hmm. and they're really not out in great numbers early in the year. So I would say that, you know, logistics firms are still active.
Okay.
We've seen a number of offshore groups looking to onshore some of their requirements, mm-hmm. manufacturing and distribution. We've seen, you know, our area sees a lot of this where you have a local company gets acquired by a bigger company. That facility doesn't work anymore. Now they need to grow and expand. You see investments like Lilly down in Cabarrus County spur mm-hmm. additional development. Mm-hmm. We were hoping that, you know, Red Bull would start their project and there would be this follow-on right. development that happened with that, but it really hasn't materialized. You know, the market feels a little uneven at the moment just okay. because of the business uncertainty that's going on. Like, I think a lot of executives and companies are not sure. I was talking to somebody this morning about this, is that when you have a very linear plan where you know what's coming next and you have a really good forecast of mm-hmm. of where business is going to be, and then you throw in, hey, you know, is there going to be a tariff on some element of my supply chain? Do I need to go source that somewhere else, or do I need to produce that myself? And so instead of maybe planning going forward, they're now planning to, like, how to even execute on what they have now. Mm. So I think there could be some distraction in the market right now mm-hmm. by companies. I don't know that for a fact, but it just would seem logical that some of the uncertainty that's out there is just going to be manifested in sort of maybe some businesses being a little more distracted. And now there's some, you know, the Fed, the Atlanta Fed just said, hey, we're going to revise GDP numbers down to a negative 2.5. whenever a CFO hears that kind of thing or a recession, you see a little bit of a pullback. Yeah. So not the greatest time to ask that, you know, where activity is, because it's not that it's bad activity. It's just that it's maybe we're in a little bit of a weird spot at the moment.
Yeah, I would say the trends that we have seen over the past several months is more manufacturing projects and smaller space requirements. Mm-hmm. So where we were used to seeing, you know, 300,000-400,000 square foot projects or bigger if it was a distribution logistics firm, seeing more now in the 100,000 or even 50 to 100,000 square feet of manufacturing space. So we hope that that is a trend that continues. Would you say that we still have some pretty large buildings out there, what your industry calls bombers? Would mm-hmm. you say the era of the bomber is over, or will that continue?
No, I think that the market ebbs and flows. And in mm-hmm. fact, prior to the election, most of our activity, I would agree with you, the majority of our activity that we saw throughout our leasing portfolio that we handle for our clients, we saw a lot of activity in that sort of that 40 to 60,000 square foot range mm-hmm. or a sub 100,000 square foot range. Post-election, we saw a number of large projects get landed, 250,000 square feet here, 300 there. Our team leased 690,000 square feet down in Rock Hill at the end of mm-hmm. end of November, early December. So it swings across the spectrum. And I would say that I've always, if you look over time, industrial buildings have tended to get bigger. Most companies are... It's a scale business, meaning the greater economies of scale usually can drive down the cost of production. Now you've got capital investments and, you know, robotics and things like that can further mm-hmm. drive down the cost of production, and just manufacturing only. And also on the logistics side with robotics, and I haven't even been in the new Macy's facility, but I'm sure the automated nature of that facility helps drive down the per unit cost of shipping. So the way you get the greater economies of scale is that you have larger facilities, and you have for every company it's a little different, though, you know. Mm-hmm. And I hate to bounce around a little bit, but sometimes it has to do with the cost of gasoline too. Like the gallon of gas has been pretty modest. If gas bumped up for some reason, maybe more facilities of a smaller size scattered around might be better than one large facility. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that, you know, our population growth story, our business growth story, I think will lead to, you know, more continued demand for the region. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be, you know, it's just like anything else. Like as a community, I'd want a portfolio. If you look at your inventory of property that you have to mm-hmm. offer to companies, I would probably want a nice diversification.
Sure.
Hey, I got a million footer here. I got a 500,000. I got a 300. Yeah. I got a couple of 50s. I've got some, like what Tectonic's doing at Rusher Farms. Hey, I got a bigger building. I can divide up into smaller. I mean, having like a whole litany of or range of sizing, and I've got land sites. If you want to do 150 acres, if you want 5 acres, I think if I had that as a community, I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, that's kind of like what you want.
You see
every deal.
It's been a long time for us to get to that point. I remember when the county got the first developer to come in and build the first spec building, and that really was to get the tire kickers here and get mm-hmm. interest in the community. And after that happened, then Chewy got built, mm-hmm. and then after that, it just kind of exploded. So we feel like the availability of a broad range of products covering that, you know, that entire variety that you just discussed about small build-to-suit sites that we have in Granite Quarry mm-hmm. up to 150-acre mm-hmm. sites or more in other parts of the county has really benefited us greatly, and that's where we're kind of focusing our future efforts, is to make sure that we keep that pipeline of new development coming, because that's what's really drawing people to us.
Yeah, I'll add to something that we tell people frequently about your county is that, and this isn't true everywhere else, is I think the path to getting a building built is a lot less red tape, a mm-hmm. lot less, it's more streamlined here. So a lot of developers, especially ones out of the Northeast, I mean, they have communities that just don't want any development.
Right.
Right? So I think it's really refreshing for your community to be able to at least, hey, you know, look, here's a very quick path to getting a building permit or a site permit, whatever it might be. And that's, there's other communities in the Charlotte region that aren't as easy to deal with on that. So I think the fact that that when people say they're pro-business, well, we'll prove it, right?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
You're pro-business by having this process being very easy to work with, not difficult. So I think you guys do a great job of that.
Well, good. Our commissioners will be happy to hear that because they've
well, it's true.
They've implemented several years ago a 7-day guarantee on building permit approvals and reviews, which is unheard of.
Absolutely.
And, they even have a 24-hour option if you want to pay $2,500 for that if you need it. They can do it for you pretty inexpensively. So we do feel that we are a very pro-business community, and that's one of the ways that we support our claims. When you talk about inventory, and I look at the bigger picture of the Charlotte region, and I look at 14 different counties who all offer something different, right? Uptown Charlotte is going to be where the fintech companies and office and HQ projects go. We know that we're never going to be that type of community, at least for not a long time to come. And we know that where our advantages lie are in some of the things that you mentioned, our logistics, our labor, the availability of land for larger projects, which a Mecklenburg County can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other communities around us, all the way from Catawba down into counties in South Carolina, mm-hmm. that give a person like you a lot of variety when you're working with your clients to mm-hmm. be able to bring them to the region. And we're mm-hmm. wholly committed to the growth of the region, but obviously mm-hmm. we want as much of that as possible to come
sure.
to Rowan County. So I wanted to ask you, just in terms of as we go forward as a county, what advice would you give us to keep that momentum going?
I think it goes back to what I said earlier around alignment. I think just mm-hmm. having, and not, you know, you guys can affect who gets on your councils or commissioners, but when I see problems, it's like there could be like one outlier that's just causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just not in alignment with what
right.
everyone, they're like swimming against the tide, and who knows why. I can speak of one specific county, I'm thinking of one specific county, and you're like, oh, this is just not helpful, you know, of how they're looking at something. And I think that, like, when I was driving around town coming up here, I mean, I think your Salisbury's got a lot going for it. Sometimes when I see, like, really quaint, like nice downtowns, but there's some mm-hmm. empty storefronts, right? There needs to, sometimes I think about like a catalyst. Like there needs to be mm-hmm. some catalyst to get things moving again. And I don't know what that is, right? That's a whole nother purview of like, you know, where one thing that's interesting about our region, unlike in Atlanta for that matter, is the, you know, you have a very defined commuting pattern in Charlotte. It's in and mm-hmm. out, right? So
right.
you come into Charlotte, you go out in the evenings. And there's not a lot of, other than Ballantyne on the south side and a little bit in Fort Mill, we don't have these northeastern or western or northern a little bit by the lake, I guess. You don't have an office. There's no like city center or office mm-hmm. center northeast of Charlotte. And I'm not saying you need one because the office market's a whole nother challenge right. at the moment.
Right.
But I could see, you know, the community just keep, you know, I think that when you have slow, steady growth, and you get some communities look, are we are we focused on labor or like getting jobs created?
Mm-hmm.
Are we focused on capital investment? If you look at
right.
Catawba County, they've done a really good job, I think, in really focusing on capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs will kind of take care of themselves. People will find jobs. The mm-hmm. capital investment, where you've got, you know, three Microsoft data centers going in, you have
sure.
all the Alcatel or the old legacy Alcatels mm-hmm. and the Corning cables and all these heavy capital investment facilities that really can help drive to tax base. And
mm-hmm.
when you have an expanded tax base, that then gives you ability to invest in more schools, invest in training centers, invest in other cultural things that maybe you want to do to elevate the community. And so I think I'd be thinking about that kind of thing. How can I, like, I know there's been some data center poking around here, and
sure.
I think the I'd heard something about the Red Rocks project up on Long Ferry, maybe having a data center component. You know, those are great capital investment.
Yeah.
Pushes they really elevate the tax base. So it's balancing the two. You know, like you still want to focus on good quality jobs, but you want to attract logistics jobs because those are helping folks that may not have the skill level to go in the other directions. And I think having everyone in alignment with where that would need to be and having a diversification of industry and companies, I think over a long period of time, you'll turn around in 10 years and you'll see a completely kind of, you know, I don't say improved, but a different and enhanced community, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our strategy in the past has been that we wanted to attract jobs that would permit people to enter at any point on the career ladder. So if they're just starting out, maybe have some basic skills and need to be go into one where they can acquire higher skills and thus higher wages. But those are important, especially when we were a community that had a lot of high poverty at one time, which is now going down. So we need to be able to address that by having jobs that are available to people that may not have a lot of skills or background in that industry.
Right.
But we also want to be able to, for mid-level and higher jobs too, for those to be available to our residents as well. So we're trying to cover the whole spectrum. And in recent years, because of labor shortages and the difficulty of attracting talent, we're, as the EDC, we're talking to our communities about exactly what you're saying, is maybe now, instead of focusing on jobs, you should be focusing on capital investment. That's where you get your revenues to drive the improvements that you want to make to your community.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that. Let's incentivize the capital investment at least as much as we do the jobs.
For sure.
And so anyway, I think that's where we're going to go. And hopefully, you know, with the data center project or others. I mean, the Macy's thing was
$700 million. Yeah, it's a huge investment.
It's a crazy amount of money, and the technology in there is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So before we wrap up, is there anything that I missed that you wanted to talk about today or comment on?
No.
Okay.
I think I covered it.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you for sharing your insights today. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you, Chris?
Well, you can just Google Chris Skibinski. I'm one of the only Skibinskis in the old state. I might be the only one in Charlotte other than my family. So, you can reach me. You know, just Google my name, Avison Young, Chris Skibinski, Charlotte. Pretty easy to find.
We got you. All right. We'll do that. Well, thank you again for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Chris.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Forward Rowan, Prosperity Through Progress. Be sure to follow Rowan EDC on LinkedIn for the latest updates on project announcements, expansions, workforce initiatives, job fairs, and more. To learn more about the Rowan EDC and our services, visit rowanedc.com. And for insights into our Forward Rowan goals, visit forwardrowan.com. Together, we're building a stronger, more prosperous Rowan County, one step at a time.